In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today the church reads for us the reading from Matthew chapter 2, which is the flight of the Holy Family to Egypt as they flee the wrath of Herod. And here, you know, we see how the young child, of course, who is God incarnate, is fleeing from a mere mortal man who is a king. So I think we can always ask the question, okay, you know, God, you're God, so why don't you just send fire from heaven down and, you know, burn this this king instead of running from him. But actually, I think God wanted to, he didn't do this for several reasons. One was to fulfill the prophecy, was the main reason, as we heard in the gospel. So he wasn't scared for fleeing. But I think he wanted to teach us and show us how to deal with difficult people. So I think that's what I'd like to speak today briefly about, is about how to deal with difficult people. And I think many of us have our fair share of difficult people in our lives. There are many types of difficult people. We have what's called the bubble busters, and these are the people that just deflate anybody's enthusiasm. Any, you know, maybe of the young kids who are coming enthusiastic, we just kind of just pop their bubble and, you know, say, oh, no, you can't do it. You're into fashion, into mishadaf a. So we're just negative, always negative. So those are bubble busters. You also have the volcanic people, the people that are like volcanoes, who are just look like this volcano with a hot temperature ready to erupt. And you just feel like you don't want to talk to them, because if you talk to them, then they're just going to go kaboom. We also have the unpleasable perfectionists, you know, the people that feel like every piece of, like in the picture, the blade of grass has to be perfectly, you know, even, and everything around me has to be perfect, or else I'm dissatisfied. And I had one of my professors in college that was kind of like this. I spent like 8 hours preparing a project in one night, and then I come the next day and it was nothing but criticism. So we have all kind of gone through encountered those people. Also, you have the chronic complainer, the people that always find something negative to dwell upon and look upon. And I kind of like this quote. It said, "Pastor, I hate to complain, but I want to do what I do best, which is complaining. So I'm going to complain." It's just like the people that come to Abuna. It's like, "Abuna, I don't want to complain, but I don't want to tell you this, but for anything that starts like this is going to be a complaint." So our typical reactions when we encounter these people that are difficult to deal with, the typical reaction is one of two. Either one, we retaliate, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We have somebody saying a bad word to us, el yishtimna, we respond to that bishtima, or we respond to that with a bad word, and kind of like we play like the kids, I touch the last. The last person to say the bad word won the argument. Of course, you know, we all know that violence beget violence, so this isn't going to end well. It never ends well when we retaliate. The other way is we just passively, you know, we just accept it passively and we do nothing. And this sometimes typically empowers difficult people. It lets them, you know, feel like this is a source of power for them, and then they will use this being difficult to get what they want. So how is it that we can deal with some of these difficult people in our lives? First, we get the first one from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4. He says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but the trickery of by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So he says, speaking the truth in love. So this is the first thing we have to keep in mind when we deal with difficult people. One, we speak the truth. It's not just based out of my emotions, how I feel. And two, we speak it with respect and with love. The wise Solomon teaches us and says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So a soft answer. So the way we speak with people will help us to deal with these difficult people. You know, if somebody is, you know, yelling and screaming, and you just come and say a soft answer, and he yells and screams, and you say a soft answer, he will eventually become embarrassed of himself, that why am I screaming if they're not screaming back? There's no need to scream. They hear me. Also, St. Paul says to the Colossians, he says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So he says, let your speech be seasoned with salt, with grace. So let there be this grace that flows from your mouth when you speak. You know, it was always, you know, I always admired His Holiness Pope Shenouda. Whenever he would be asked a question, he would pause for a minute before he would answer. Right when we're asked a question, we don't immediately need to prop out an answer. Let's, you know, take a second or two to think of my response and maybe to say a small prayer like, Lord, let your words flow from my mouth. Just a simple prayer. So let our lips be seasoned with grace or with salt. So that is the first thing, is to speak the truth with love and respect. The next is to reconcile. If there's any difference, to reconcile with this person. And there are three things we can learn about reconciliation from Matthew chapter 18. He says, the Lord says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. So he says the first thing to do is to go speak with them one-on-one privately. So this is the first attempt that we should make. We shouldn't automatically, when we have a problem with somebody, go to Abuna, go to the principal, go to whoever it is, mom and dad. We should try to work out our differences first between each other in private. And St. John Chrysostom clarifies this beautifully. He says, you must conduct your judgment of him privately. So do it privately. Make your cure easy to accept. Here he's saying a cure, as if, you know, the person who is, you know, uptight and disrespectful or whatnot is diseased, has a sickness. So he says, when you go speak with him, make your case easy to accept. So yelling, screaming, and jumping up and down doesn't make your case easy to accept, but it makes it harder, because then they have to look past your anger, past your emotions. But if you do it with a peaceful and gentle spirit, it makes it easy to accept. Then he says, for the words correct him, referring to the part in the Bible, means nothing other than help him see his indiscretion. So we're just helping him see his indiscretion. So does that mean point the finger, tell him, you know, you're wrong in this, this, and this? Is that what he means here? He clarifies and says, tell him what you have suffered from him. So he says, tell him what you suffered from him. So this is an explanation of how I am feeling or what this made me feel. It's not an accusation of what this person did. You did this, this, and this. But rather saying, what you did hurt me this, this, and this way. So therefore, it's a description of how you interpreted what he said, rather than pointing the finger and blaming. So the first is private correction. Then the gospel continues and says, but if he does not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So here he's saying the second part of reconciliation is to seek a counselor, to seek a witness, seek a third party. And mind you, this just shouldn't be somebody from the street, nor should it be somebody that's, you know, your best friend that's always going to side with you anyways, because then there's an automatic bias. So we need to choose somebody that's trustworthy, choose somebody that's unbiased, and choose somebody that will help, you know, say the facts as they are, not as I want to hear them. So in doing this, involving another person or two, this takes out the he said, she said out of the disagreement. but, you know, we have to always keep in mind that when we bring in the third party, we might expect that we might be in the wrong. And actually, this, you know, I can illustrate this as like a physician. You know, if a physician comes and he sees a patient that has maybe a disease that's giving him or her a hard time, and, you know, he's given these antibiotics or this treatment and it's not working, does he like mope around and stand around? It's like, okay, I give up, I'm defeated, this bug beat me. Do they do that? No, but yet they relentlessly pursue more options. They research, okay, if this, that we don't have a known treatment for this, let's go research other mechanisms or other ways in which maybe could help this man. or help this woman. So they go and relentlessly pursue another cure. So this is, you know, the same thing, you know, with seeking a counselor. Even if, you know, it is, we go to this counselor knowing that it might be me that is the problem and I should be willing to yield. And that's why the last part of the verse says, and if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. So if he refuses to reconcile with privately and with a witness, then you take it to the church, which is represented, you know, by Abuna. So whether we are on the side that has been offended, or we are the offenders, we need to be ready and willing to yield for the sake of reconciliation and peace. So another way we can deal with difficult people, we said first, speak the truth in love. Second, we said reconcile with them. Third is realize that that their anger or arguments may not be against me personally. We often take everything personally as if it was against me or towards me, and everybody else in the world, or this person doesn't like, or I'm the worst person to them in the world, and everything is taken against me. We have example of this in the Old Testament. The people of Israel, they saw the other nations around them wanting a king. Or they saw the nations around them with kings, and they were going to battle. And all the people of Israel had was this old man named Samuel. So they said, okay, we don't want Samuel anymore. We want a king, a young king, to lead us into battle, to have victory over our enemies. So Samuel, of course, felt very inadequate and felt very bad. And felt, okay, is this my fault? What's going on? He felt very bad. But the Lord said to him something nice in 1 Samuel 8:7. He says, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So Samuel thought it was against him. The people were rebelling against him. But in actuality, the people were rebelling against God. Sometimes, you know, we deal with difficult people because we're the people that are in their face. Or we're the people that have to be, you know, or just happen to be, you know, we get in that time where they're about to blow and we're the first ones in their face. But actually the cause for all of the boiling wasn't me. It was maybe a situation at work. It was maybe, you know, sad news that we received or troubling news that we received. But we just might be the object of the expression of this. So let's not take everything personally, but let's maybe give people reason or excuses why maybe they are difficult, or maybe why they, you know, they get upset, you know, explosively in my face or whatnot. So let's, you know, sometimes realize that maybe not all of, you know, the difficulties that people show me is a result of against me, but maybe they have other circumstances. The fourth thing is to remember to whom we are accountable. St. Paul says to the Romans, so then each one of us shall give an account to him, of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. So he says we all have to give an account to God. We'll all be accounted before God. And this shows that our responsibility towards God is ourselves. So when we get in a difficult circumstance with somebody, sometimes we feel compelled and responsible for the reaction of the person in front of us. We feel like I must convince them, or I must make them obey what I say. But we're not responsible for the way people receive our attempts to reconcile, receive our correction, receive our advice. We're not responsible for that reception. We might be responsible to share it with them, to deliver it to them, but we are not responsible for them to respond. Each one is responsible before God for their own actions. And then he warns us about being a stumbling block for our brothers. So we should be cautious to not be stumbling blocks. And if you think about what a stumbling block is, it's kind of like the picture. You're like walking and there's a stone that's sticking up and, you know, people trip over it. So a stumbling block is basically an impediment to growth or progress. An impediment to growth or progress. So, you know, if I don't like dealing with difficult people, but yet am I myself a difficult person? Am I myself being a stumbling block for the growth of others around me? You maybe see these people who are, you know, who are very zealous, you know, and being deacons or being servants or sharing, you know, or helping other people, offering a helping hand. And am I like this stumbling block that kind of come up from the bottom and gives them all of the, you know, the things that are make them, you know, wish they had never helped anybody? Do I, you know, make myself a stumbling block to others' growth? The the fifth is to walk away. And here I don't mean like, oof, and just kind of just walk away and I can't take you anymore. No, here the walk away I'm referring to is postponing resolution. Postponing resolution. And we see this example in David and Saul. Saul, as we know, was relentlessly seeking to kill David because he was jealous of him. But we see David time after time reminding Saul that I love you. I don't want to take the throne from you. I'm content by just waiting, you know, until, you know, you pass, and then I will take it. I have no problem with that. So time and time again, David was, you know, was patient or would walk away from Saul and his threats. As we remember one time when Saul or David and his men were in the recesses of the cave, Saul came to the beginning in the front of the cave and fell asleep. And all of David's men were like, this is your chance. Go and kill him. But David said, no. How can I lay my hand on the Lord's anointed? I shall not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. So he delayed resolution to this difficult person in his life. He said, maybe the next time we meet, he will have a change of heart. So sometimes we need to walk away. And this shouldn't be an excuse for us not to pursue reconciliation or to resolution, but it should just as a postponement. Maybe the time isn't right. So the question is, when do we walk away from difficult people? When do we walk away from difficult people? I think, you know, we walk away when people are no longer communicating with love, clarity, and rationale. The time isn't right to try to work out a resolution if the two of us that are having, you know, this disagreement are not communicating in love, are not communicating clearly, and are not communicating rationally. When somebody starts to kharraf, as they say in Arabic, or say things irrationally, then, like, say for example, if a husband and wife are arguing, and say, I'm not going to forgive you until the angel of heaven comes down and tells me to forgive you. So, Danny, that's not going to happen. It may not happen. But then the rationale becomes, okay, maybe it's not the right time. And you'll find when, you know, two people are hot, then it's not time. We need to postpone and agree with each other. We'll talk about this at another time when we're both cooled off. So, walking away. The sixth point, or the sixth way to deal with difficult people, is sometimes we have to agree to disagree. We have to be in agreement that we're going to disagree. We're not going to agree about everything all the time. You know, this never happens, that we're going to agree with somebody, even within our own family, we have disagreements. And this we see even among the apostles. The apostles Paul and Barnabas, they contended among each other because of Mark. Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him. As we know, Barnabas was like the son of encouragement. He was always encouraging people. And Mark was kind of like, you know, kind of there, kind of not. But Barnabas wanted to encourage him and say, you know, come with us and preach with us. But Paul said, no, I don't want to take Mark with me. So Paul and Barnabas, you know, had their disagreement. As we read, I won't read it for you, but it's in Acts 15. They got in the disagreement and then ended up Paul taking Silas and Barnabas taking Mark. Some people think, okay, this disagreement was like almost a physical fist fight that these two apostles had. And this says whenever people get in an argument, they say, yes, but Paul and Barnabas fought with each other. But actually, you know, this wasn't the way that they were. It was just a disagreement with each other. So, and maybe this was by the guidance of the Holy Spirit so they can cover more territory. And we see that St. Paul doesn't hold anything against St. Mark. As he says to his disciple Timothy, he says, "But get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." So he says, "For he is useful to me for ministry." So if he had something or some any resentment towards him in his head for Mark, we see this in 2 Timothy, that this is not the case. He does not have, you know, Mark in his mind that I don't want him to be among us. And of course, the last thing we do when we deal with difficult people is to pray for them. The Lord said, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." So pray for them. Those who we feel are giving us a hard time, we pray for them, that God kida will allow al-amur, or allow the circumstance to be cool, to let us have peace with one another. Help me show him or her your love. And believe me, oftentimes when we show love in response to evil, as the Bible says, that good will overcome evil. So just to recap what we said, how do we deal with difficult people? We said, speak the truth in love. We said to reconcile with them, which we said, first step is private correction. Second step is to seek a counselor. The third step is to take it to the church. Then we said we also have to realize that people's anger and arguments are not always intended personally towards us. We also need to remember to whom we are accounted for or accountable to. We're accountable to God for our own actions, not for the response of other people. Also, another way is to walk away. As we saw in the example of today's gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ and his family, they walked away from Herod. They fled from before him until the time was right for them to return. And finally, we have to sometimes agree to disagree. And finally, we need to pray for them. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.